Hi, I'm John David Booter, host of the hit podcast, Done Disappeared. We both know there are a lot of true crime podcasts out there. Crime File, True Crime Dump Truck, My Dearest Disappearance, Miscreant, Shovel and Pale, Generation Huh, Missing Megan Murphy, Professor's Little Kiss Ass, F-Town. But there's only one place to listen to me, John David Booter, put all of these shows in their place. Done Disappeared Season 3, coming January 20th, 2019. Seasons 1 and 2 available now. You won't be disappointed.
It's a good show.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Contact the best authorities. Check on anything that seems to be extraordinary, no matter what it is.
When you see something that's frightening, it looms large in the consciousness.
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
Bango.
Bingo, bango.
You know that song? Oh, girl, get out of my life.
Oh, yeah.
It's
so creepy. You better run, girl. You're much too young, girl.
Is that the rest of it?
Yeah. You better run, girl. You're much too young, girl.
Why?
Like, you better run because I'm probably going to rape you.
But, like, she's underage and won't leave him alone.
Well, no, he just can't take it. Like, oh, you better get out of my life because I have a habit.
That was an okay thing to sing about, as I can't handle my erection.
Yeah. I have a bad habit of banging underage girls.
Better get out of here. I'm going to fuck you.
I mean,
look out.
Some of those songs were so creepy. You better run, girl.
L. B. Sure with "About to Fuck You." Whether you like it or not.
A lot of those. What'd you even call that genre?
Fixing to get handled.
Like, would that be doo-wop or just that 50s like bubblegum?
Rapecore.
Just before rock and roll really got kicked off. Rapecore.
I did Adam Carolla's podcast years ago, and by did Adam Carolla's podcast, I mean I sat there while Adam Carolla talked for an hour and a half, but he had a whole thing talking about like which songs were super rapey.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. A
lot of them back then.
I was singing Billy Ocean the other day. Get out of my dreams. Get into my car.
Yeah.
Well, that goes, get out of my dreams. What a sweet sentiment.
Yeah.
He's dreaming about you. Uh-huh. Get into my car.
Yeah.
It goes from, I fantasize about you, you're the magical woman that I desire, and do an abduction.
Yeah.
Just kidnapping right away.
Mm-hmm. Well, ZZ Top's Pearl Necklace. She won't a pearl necklace. Yeah. I listened to that my whole teenage years before I realized what it meant. It's like, wants me to come on her face.
I think most people did. And also, that seems consensual.
That was a radio hit, though.
Yeah.
She won't a pearl necklace. Like, the chorus also, is about semen.
Tube Snake Boogie.
Tube Snake Boogie.
ZZ Top. Probably some of the musicians you'd want to envision them.
Yeah.
Just a wispy beard hitting you in your face. How do you fuck a ZZ? How do you fuck one of the ZZ Tops? They're just tickling you. They just tickle you the whole time.
ZZ on the Tops.
Who would have chosen ZZ Bottoms? Start a band called ZZ. Somebody else said it. It's not me. But I was just a
oh, man.
Big fan of like an all-gay tribute band to super masculine rock. Something ZZ Bottoms would be good.
I saw an all-female Misfits tribute band. It was awesome.
The Misfits.
Yeah, the Misfits.
Yeah, I've seen them. I've seen the Misfats. It's fat. It's fat Misfits. For a minute, not long after I moved to LA, I was just going to see tribute band. They would have these big, there was the Iron Maidens, which admittedly, I was like, well, this would be cute. Ladies playing Iron Maiden. They fucking shredded.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Mm. And you could, oh, these are like, it was just all pro studio musicians who got together to form a cover band and have a good time. But, yeah, man, that's how we started.
Yeah, man.
The Boogie Monster.
Yeah, it's the Boogie Monster. I'm Kyle.
With me and you.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
The Boogie Monster. Hey, you know us. We know you.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on.
And it's too bad this isn't on YouTube yet because you're looking good today, buddy. Got a new look.
Clean, trimmed off the beard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who cares anymore?
Yeah. I would do it. I want to shave mine, but I got to wait till I drop a few pounds because I don't
you
want
really
to look
don't,
like.
But you don't.
But yeah, I'm gonna, my face is going to be so fat.
Then maybe that's the thing that makes you want to drop the few pounds.
That's a good point.
It's just the fact that beards are like a culture thing, like that ruined it. As soon as like, oh, but yeah. It's all about beard. Like, ugh.
No.
Fucking.
No, I never bought into that. Same thing with weed. You know, I like my beard and I like smoking weed, but I'm not going to have posters and magazines about either one.
Yeah, as soon as you start thinking it's part of your identity, or people think it's their identity, that's like, no, no, it's not. Like, then you're just that lizard guy that does the Jim Rose circus sideshow.
With the bifurcated tongue.
Yeah, you're just that guy. Just be that fucking guy then.
Ugh.
Yeah, like, I just cutting my hair and I had the clippers. I'm like, oh, I got to trim my beard. I was like, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's whatever.
Yeah. Looks good though, man.
Well, thanks, man. Yeah. Went up to the woods.
Yeah.
Did some bike rides. Okay, so I told you, but let's tell. So we're looking for a camp spot, just random, pretty open because it's a Sunday night.
Uh-huh.
Me and my buddy Kevin are going to go ride some trails up there, a camp, and then...
Up at Angeles?
Angeles, yeah. Chileo campground, and we'll ride this morning.
Uh-huh.
You pull up, and there's like a pair of shoes, right? Like, you got to back your cars in. This, like, had some steps down to the camp, so it was a good campsite suit, real open. Mm-hmm. There's a pair of shoes there. I'm like, oh, man, somebody left a pair. There was no camp gear. They were left, purposely left shoes. There's no cars, nobody around, with a paper bag. Paper white pharmacy bag, which I presented to you.
Yeah.
And at first, I'm like, I'm just going to ignore somebody who like, was changing before they left and put their shoes in. Like, I've forgotten shoes. And so then I'm like, well, what's this little bag? There's a bag in it. Maybe it's a fun clue.
Uh-huh.
10 huge fat joints.
Yeah.
Big fat, fatty fat fats.
Big fat joints.
Big fatty fat.
Nice.
Joints. And, which I was still a little suspect.
Nah.
Also, I was like, I took some mushrooms anyway. So I was,
you did some mushrooms.
I didn't want, yeah, and I didn't want to like have mushrooms and then have weed paranoia about weird weed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just ate a couple stems.
Yeah, how'd that go?
It was nothing. I wasn't trying to go bonkers. Uh-huh. I just wanted to enjoy the nature, and then I slept under the stars for the first time.
Nice.
Because I had a tent. I'm like, I set up a tent. It's cold enough out that there wasn't bugs.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't have a cot. And Kevin's like, just put the sleeping pad, just put it on a picnic table. I was like, all right. So there's a sleeping pad and sleeping bag. It got that. It was in the 40s. So it wasn't bad, but I had all the stuff.
Uh-huh.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Delightful. I had the couldn't shut the brain off mushroom thing for a while.
Okay. But just up on the picnic table.
Boom. I got the sleeping pad. It was great.
You weren't fearful that you would roll off?
No, at first I'm like, oh, what if I'm like, I sleep in a bed.
Yeah.
I don't fall out of the fucking bed.
That's true. And I just do it log rolls.
You know? How often do you fall out of your bed?
That's true.
So it was great. Just got to sit there, look at the stars. Nothing to report. Just, you know.
No activity.
Man. Unless I'm missing it. I saw a perfect triangle of stars that I was like, what's that?
Uh-huh.
Stared at that, but was not on enough mushrooms to believe anything.
So just a pair of shoes sitting there, huh?
Pair of Nike SB skate shoes, size 10, left them there. I'm a size 9 at best, so.
Couldn't have been, you don't think this is another chapter in the missing 411? A lot of times I just find shoes.
Shoes and all the weed. I think this is just a karmic. But the shoes, though, why the shoes?
Yeah.
To draw attention to the weed? Because I showed you the joints. Those are store-bought.
Yeah, these are good. Was there a body of water nearby?
No.
So he didn't take his shoes off to go wading in the creek?
No, it was rocks. Okay. You weren't going anywhere without your shoes around there.
Huh. Yeah,
that's maybe. What I was thinking, unless he was like putting on hiking boots.
Yeah.
But why would 10 giant joints in a bag be placed inside the shoes? Unless, like, again, unless it was all put there, and then they drove off.
Unless it was like, I'll put these joints in my shoes because I know I won't leave my shoes. I might forget a bag off to the side, but I know I won't forget my shoes. So the joints will be in the shoes. But then maybe he had one of the joints.
You know what's fun? I wonder if at one point we parked, saw that, like, oh, that's crazy. And I threw him in the car. Like, don't mind if I do. I thought maybe it's just karma. You know, you say, hey, somebody was visiting. We got too much weed. Leave it for someone to enjoy.
That's true.
And then because then, but then another car in the campground, we were like, so we were parked in the spots and another car came by and kind of stopped by our spot, but I couldn't tell if they were scoping out another campsite that was nearby. But maybe they were just like, oh, there's people there. We can't just go take our weed back. Like maybe they left them there and like repositioned their campsite and then went back. I don't know.
That brings up a good question.
Should we smoke these joints?
Well, that too. What's the coolest or most valuable thing you've ever found?
Ooh, all right.
Like, what's the most amount of money you've ever found?
I found $100 in front of the Guns N' Roses concert a few years ago.
$100 bill?
Wow. Yeah.
I found a $50 bill.
It was $100 or $150.
Wow.
And I was pissed because we couldn't figure out how to get in. Bronger and I went to see him in San Diego, and we couldn't figure out how to get in the stadium. I'm like, oh shit, and the Cult was opening, and I could hear him. I'm like, where's the Cult? God damn it. And we're running all over, and I just look at the ground, and I saw that. I'm like, well, beers are taken care of.
Wow.
So, but like, I don't know about that's not real valuable. I got a little buck knife that my mom, when she was visiting, got her. I still picture her face the way she was like, we're in a park somewhere. And she was smoking. She saw, like, there was something on the ground, like a guy was by it, but she didn't want him to see it. Uh-huh. So she's, like exhaling her cigarette, but as she's exhaling, she's making this face, but her mouth's full of smoke. She's like, and it was just this little buck knife that was on the ground. But I like it. I gotta keep it. Like, that's like a little keepsake for me.
Yeah. That's cool.
What'd you find object-wise?
I found a gun when I was a teenager, like a 410 hunting rifle.
Really?
Yeah. And I kept it.
Man, that's
and I didn't think about it till after the fact. Like, oh, I hope
when
this
you're
wasn't,
a kid, you don't know.
Hope this wasn't used in a crime.
Yeah, let me put my fingerprints all over this.
Yeah.
Did it have a serial number on it?
I don't remember. I was like 16, and I gave it to my dad. And then he told me, like, hey, you shouldn't just be taking guns you find
where
in the
was
woods.
It?
It's just out in the woods. It's just out
buried
the woods.
Buried or?
Oh, just like propped up against a tree. Like someone had propped it there. And
oh,
then, I don't know.
Somebody got drunk and
left
forgot it.
Or forgot it or something. Yeah.
What did I never. What's the most valuable thing you lost?
Ooh.
I left a brand new pair of Doc Martens on top of my car once.
I don't know. That's a good question. I've had valuable things stolen. I'll tell you about when my van got broken into and my 1 month old $1,300 laptop was okay. Taken.
I mean, I want to think that the backstory of every time I got a bike stolen or something was like, all right, you needed it. But bikes, especially not, it was kids being dickheads.
Yeah.
This day, at 42 years of age, I hope your dick rots off. Whoever stole my Haro Master and my Haro Sport out of my garage, I hope your dick rots off.
I saw a guy the other day riding a bike while also pushing a second
that
bike.
That is
like, what's this? You,
yeah.
What just, story other than I just stole this is there?
Just greater Los Angeles area. If you are missing a bike, drive on Gower Boulevard underneath the 101. Just go underneath the 101 at anywhere it crosses over street. And that is that's a bike chop shop down there now.
Yeah.
I got my shit locked up in the garage. Mm. But, oh, man. Stolen bikes ride faster. What should we do?
I don't know. Oh, I had some celebrity sightings the other day.
Really? In Hollywood?
Yeah. We talked about this. It was the same day. I think we talked about this last week. We recorded the same day. We had some Hollywood show business, and we saw Macaulay Culkin
in
the lobby of a place.
Yeah.
And then the same afternoon, like in the same 10-minute span, you may not be familiar with this guy, Randy Couture, who was the UFC heavyweight champion, MMA guy, for like 10 years. He was
a
dominant MMA guy. So I saw him jogging on Hyperion, and literally 5 minutes later, I'm in...
I killed a guy.
Sorry, I'm laughing at the toot. Literally 5 minutes later, I'm stuck in bumper to bumper traffic right there on Hyperion. Like every day at like 5 o'clock, it's just chaos. Yeah, yeah. Like coming from like Sunset over to Atwater.
It's jacked over there.
Oh man. So bumper to bumper, there's a car in front of me and it's got the Lyft logo, Lyft sticker on the back. So I'm like, that's a guy driving Lyft. And I can tell someone was in the back and I'm in the far left lane. It's just two lanes in each direction. Point being, I'm not on the right lane to where like a lot of times people just hop out. Oh, I can get out right here. So this, I saw the door open, the back door, and a guy gets out. And I'm like, what's this asshole doing? Like, he's in the middle lane. Side he's just going to walk in the middle of traffic. And didn't think much of it. And the guy, taller guy, and he had a skateboard. And the guy just drops a skateboard and just skates off. And it was Ben Harper. I don't know if you know musician Ben Harper.
Oh, yeah.
Married to Laura Dern.
Yeah.
Used to be a huge fan. Years ago, my ex-girlfriend was obsessed
with him. I was always okay with Ben. I didn't know a lot of it, but I remember Ben. I'm like, what is this mellow kind of...
Yeah.
It's almost hippie-ish. Like, is this...
Yeah, kind of in the
college, like frat guy rapey, but you're like, nah, this guy's got a little more soul.
Yeah, like that Jack Johnson, Dave Matthews vibe, but I always thought it was a little cooler. My ex-girlfriend was just obsessed with him, so for 10 years, that's all we listened to. But and I got to be a big fan. But I'm just distracted by like, who's this guy getting out in the middle lane?
Decided to skate off.
Then he drops a skateboard, it skates off, and I'm like, holy shit, that was Ben Harper. So.
I agree with Ben Harper. If you're stuck in traffic in a Lyft and you got a skateboard, get the fuck out of there. Home. You get home on your own.
So in 10 minutes, I saw Randy Couture and then Ben Harper. And then earlier in the day, we saw Macaulay Culkin. So, fun-filled celebrity sighting
day. We saw that Chad Muska join the next door at pro skateboarder Chad Muska.
Oh, really?
In the hood somewhere.
Him. Cool.
And on the opposite of that, non-famous dipshits, somebody down the intersection right here. The one I'm pointing at it, but nobody knows. But you know the one I'm talking about right there. Three-way intersection. Yeah. Four-way intersection. Wonky area. It's great. I'm glad your kid's selling Girl Scout cookies or whatever. Cool. Oh, you want to make a little sandwich board sign. Great. Where's the best place for that? Probably the middle of the intersection. You fucking idiots.
Wow.
Grant, it was Sunday, and I'm like trying to see the best. Because I was trying to make a U-turn to repark Rachel's car, and I get them like, you fucking morons. Like just the entitled bullshit.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got a lot of farts. I've been eating the freeze dried camping food last night. So I was looking. I just picked up and went. I didn't like go over all my supplies. It was like one night.
Yeah.
And I'm not backpacking in or anything. But I had one freeze dried. There was freeze dried mac and cheese. Three servings. I probably had 120% of the sodium. Because it's for backpack, you're supposed to eat it, and then you expend that energy hiking. But I didn't. I just ate it, and I took mushrooms, and I laid on a table for 5 hours. And then this morning, I had some red beans and rice. It's another 100%. I'm already way over. I'm real salted up right now.
What was it like, the freeze-dried version? Was it just like a Rice Krispie treat full of mac and cheese, or what?
You boil water.
Oh, okay.
And you put water in it. So but it's camp food. So like it's like MREs, and I've had this shit sitting in the garage for, but it's always going to be good because it's freeze dried, and I got a little jet boil stove, a little gas canister, so just because otherwise, you know, camping you can bring a stove and do a fun. I want to ride bikes, you know, maybe trip a little bit, and just have food when I need it. So that's all.
You could bring a smoker and a pork shoulder and spend 12
hours.
But
that was a different type of camping. That was more of like, let's set up a nice area that we're all lounging and we're drinking beer. This, I didn't even drink. I was just...
Yeah?
Nah, because if I was doing a bike ride and everything, and then it's thin air already, you can get kind of more fucked up than you want to.
Any thoughts to report during the mushrooms?
No, because it was just... You know what it was? It wasn't enough to send me into a bonkers good time, but it was just enough to be like, I wish I would stop thinking.
Yeah.
It never surpassed the self-doubt part, but the awareness, and I don't want to scare anybody off doing mushrooms. They're a good time. Uh-huh. I think everybody should, I think literally everybody should try them.
Yeah.
And they say anything that you're worried about, anything that you freak out about when you're tripping, go towards it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the way you'll find out it's not real. Mm-hmm. The things you're scared of, this isn't real. Don't. Yeah. So I was just getting like worried about, like I just got in my head about like work shit. But then I was like, yeah, you're on mushrooms. Calm down. And I would.
Yeah.
And then I would just look at the stars, but stars are cool. But it was just kind of that over and over again. Okay. Not crippling self-doubt, just like oh, what if the show tomorrow doesn't go well? Like, get the fuck over it. You're fine.
Yeah.
But it was right good. On, that's man. What you doing was. I late night slept under the stars. I got to do that that's more awesome, often. That's awesome, man. I got to do that more often. Granted, you know, if I would have heard one thing in the brush, I would have shit my pants, but.
That's awesome, man. Hey, I got some interesting news the other day.
What you got?
My mom received a letter from an eight-year-old girl. Eight-year-old girl. I forgot where she's from. And long story short, my father, when he passed away, he was an organ donor. And because of Don Stone, this eight-year-old little girl now, who was previously blind, that's the important part of the story, blind eight-year-old girl.
She can walk now.
Now she can walk because of his eyes. No, she has sight because of my dad. So my mom was very excited to share that letter with me, so that's pretty cool. And I don't know how all this works, but in the letter, she got a second letter from the organization. I don't know if it's the Georgia Eye Bank or Donor Bear or whatever. But three other people are in line to get their sight because of my dad's eyes. So I don't know if they dismantle
them. Genetic material or something.
Yeah, if they this person needs a cornea, this person needs a retina. I don't know how any of that works. But this was the first of four recipients who are going to have sight because of my dad.
That's such a good. That how would anybody not be an organ donor after that story?
Yeah, why would you not?
After knowing that you can benefit,
yeah,
you can help.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool.
And that's got to make that makes the family feel a little bit better, right?
Yeah,
a little bit of.
Yeah, why would you not be an organ donor?
I guess maybe there's some religious reasons, which are always dumb anyway.
I mean, you take whatever you want once I'm dead. Hey, you can have some of it while I'm alive. What do I care?
Yeah, garage sale. This shit. Get in there.
Take what you want.
Strip it down. Just pull the copper wiring out. Yeah, run through me like a meth head in an abandoned apartment complex. Get it all out. Use what you can.
Sell the rest. Mm-hmm. Also, I want to thank everybody for the I didn't know we had so many goddamn tax experts.
Speaking of which,
I want to. Yeah, I get the thing.
The tax form was delivered here for you.
Yeah, that's awesome. I want to apologize for having an opinion. Jesus Christ, I got so much fucking backlash.
Did you? I saw some stuff.
Some of it was nice and like, hey, just, you know, kitchen. But I guess I didn't make myself clear. First of all, I was not trying to break down the finer points of AOC's 70%.
No, yeah.
I don't know that I was just saying I brought that up because I saw that in the news and then it just made me think of the general concept of progressive tax.
Yeah.
So,
no, we had a conversation in a public forum and everybody
I got voicemails from people. Just long-winded.
If I could get a 20% tax on the 2 cents I got out of everybody, I'd have a dollar.
Yeah, exactly. But no, hey, thank you for your input. It was just a humble opinion.
Sometimes people are just trying to be helpful. Mm-hmm. Once in a while, there's a dick, but most of the time.
And also, let me make it clear,
we made it good, like, if you're a dick, you can take a hike.
Yeah.
We've made that pretty clear.
Yeah.
Why waste your time with a response?
But I got lectures on paying a living wage. I wasn't arguing against a living wage. I've been minimum wage most of my life. And by the way, I don't really have a dog in this fight because I'm probably never going to be in that upper tax bracket where
what kind of attitude is that?
These high rates are going to affect me.
What kind of envisioning your success?
I will say this though: all the really self-righteous people who are really, you know, for taxing the rich. Hey, and I get that. Just remember that if you yourself ever become a multimillionaire, pay that inflated tax rate with a big stupid grin on your face. All right. My point is, it's easy to say tax so and so when you're not in that bracket, and I'm not in that bracket.
Well, and I know everybody. I understand that if you earned it, then you get to keep it. But. Okay, but I don't know. I think if you got that much money, mm-hmm. you can part with it. I mean, parting with it for what? You know, what? That's why you vote on what you think tax should be spent out of it. I don't think like maybe I don't want my income tax to go up, but I'll vote for like, oh, do I think it should go for this program versus that program? Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
Whatever. Let's. Yeah. What are we gonna do? Figure that one out again?
Yeah. No. But no. Thanks. God, it's funny. That, and it's like, oh yeah, this is why we don't talk politics or anything.
anything
on this,
smart
on this show? Because like Jesus Christ, just fucking blood in the water. But no, I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion. And by the way, I wasn't really making a strong, wasn't making good points or a strong argument. I basically was just asking the question, like, what people who are for that, explain to me why you think just a flat tax rate is not fair. So, but that's fine.
Yeah, and the AOC thing was like, yeah, it was like 70% past your first $10 billion.
Yeah, that's fine. And I wasn't arguing. I had people sending me that thing. It's like, no, I wasn't arguing against that. I was just using that as a catalyst.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the concept of progressive tax. So anyway, that's fine.
I just don't see why, you know, one individual.
No.
And I'm not full socialist. Like, no, mm-hmm. everybody gets the equal amount, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know why someone needs billions of dollars.
No, I get it. And I'm not, by the way, and
I don't think they should be punished for it. But
I wasn't defending corporations. You know, I get corporations. They get there, you know, off the sweat of the workers and all that. I wouldn't, you know, that's fine.
Corporations. Well, yeah. We're venturing into bullshit about something we don't know again.
No worries. Saw a couple of movies recently. Got a couple of real brief movie reviews. Saw Vice. You seen that yet?
I was like, you know what? I'm sure it's good. I'm like, why do I want to see something about other shitty political people when we already have this display?
That's true.
Like, I'm doing a pretty good job at ignoring all of it. Because, like, me being angry about it isn't doing anything.
No.
Just sitting there going, can you believe this? Like, people need it like sports right now.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit there and aggressively agree with somebody and then to watch a movie about like, oh, remember how they're all scumbags? Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
They're all trash.
Of course.
Even the good ones.
Yeah.
Even the ones that start good. If they stay in the machine, they become part of the machine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, how's the movie?
It was good. It was the problem with biopics and stuff. It's like, okay, I kind of know how this is going to end. And like there was nothing.
Christian Bale chunk his way into another Oscar.
I mean, he did a good job.
He fat his way to another award.
he did a good job. And it was well done. And I think it was the same director who did, what was it, The Short List?
The Big Short, yeah.
So, yeah, and I saw that. It kind of had similar style. Good, not great. Like, I enjoyed it, but, like, kind of uneventful. And the same could be said for, I saw Eighth Grade. And I'm a fan of Bo Burnham.
That was a good.
It was good, but it was like, again, nothing really happens. And it was like, hey, I'm an awkward eighth grade girl, and this is weird. But like nothing really happened to her. There was no like real crazy event. It was just, I'm kind of awkward.
Then like slice of life type thing?
It was slice of life, but like nothing really happened. And there was no problem nor a solution.
Yeah.
And I like Bo Burnham. I'm not shitting on him or his movie, but like.
Can you take it from. Can you think of yourself at that age? Because that's the thing. Like, I'll watch it. I'm like, I have to step out. Like, you're a 42-year-old man watching this. Maybe think about who this movie is important to and try to.
Yeah. Well, and it just, my only critique of it was, and I think this could translate to real life, but like, there was a lot of like, I don't know. There was a lot of complaining and not a lot of doing. Like, you know, when I was an awkward eighth grader, but it was like I did stuff. I played sports. I was in this club. Like, there was, I don't know, there was just this kind of undertone of like, I wish things were different, but I'm not going to really put forth a lot of effort to change anything. You know, it's just like, and I know teenage years is difficult, but it's like, get busy doing some shit. Join a band, join a sports team, join a club, like get involved. And it was just like, I'm kind of awkward and don't have a lot of friends, but I'm not really doing much. It's like, all right, well I don't know how to help you. So, but I mean, it was entertaining, and the actress, the young lady, she did great. And but yeah, it was both those movies was like, I'd heard so much, and they're both probably victims of overhype too. You know, sometimes it's not the movie's fault that it gets hyped up so much.
Yeah.
But both those movies I wanted to see because there was so much buzz around them, and they both were. I enjoyed them, but it was like when they ended, it was like, oh, that's it.
Yeah, there's no big.
Yeah. So
Because I love a good, you know, if it's a well-done teen rom-com.
Yeah. That's definitely what
I'm wrong. Can't Hardly Wait.
Never saw that one.
One of the best movies.
Is that the one with Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Jennifer Love Hewitt. Yeah. You had all the hits. Mm-hmm. Young Seth Green. That's a classic film.
Never saw
it. And I was talking about that with Rachel. And she's like, watch a new one. Because I'm like, what's a new good teen movie? We watched, what's it called? To All the Boys I've Loved Before?
Huh.
Let me look it up.
I haven't heard that one.
It is. To All the Boys I've Loved Before. And it was definitely more of a rom than a com. But a very well cast.
Mm-hmm.
The young gal who was the lead in it, who is she? I'm not sure, but she was a. It's a Netflix movie. Maybe Lana Condor is her name. I don't know. She's real funny. The lead actress, she was real good at it. It was just teen high school comedy. Huh. Didn't lean too much, because I'm always wondering, like, how much does a movie have to lean on a cell phone or texting, because that's more commonplace.
Yeah.
And it kind of can solve so many things. And if you look at an old movie, if they just had a cell phone, movie wouldn't even happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Die Hard, just be like, hey, man, there's a hostages in the skyscraper. That's it.
That's true.
But it was well done for a good teen movie. So I hope our demographic of fat, alien-believing slob males want to take my tip and see To All the Boys I've Loved Before on Netflix. What is this show even anymore? You want to smoke a joint and talk about aliens?
We should.
All right, I'm pausing it. You won't know, but we're going to come back real fucked up. Time travel, man.
Yeah, dude.
Fucking time traveled.
Do you feel anything, man?
I don't know. These were mystery shoe joints. I feel a little bit.
I feel stuff.
It was pretty, so far, mellow.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good.
Good. I don't want fucking crazy weed.
Yeah.
I don't need that in my life.
You ever mess with edibles?
Yeah, I told you I was using the ketchup. Did I tell you that?
I don't think so.
All that, whoever gave us all that stuff. Like, did I talk about it on the show?
The stuff the lady gave us two years ago?
Yeah. Because I'm like, when?
Where was that?
I don't eat at home a lot.
Yeah.
And then I finally got take out stuff like a fries. Did I tell a story already?
I don't think so.
And I was like, I just opened this jar. I'm like, oh, there's weed ketchup. And I was eating these fries. And I looked at it. I was like, oh, like, what is it? Like 15 milligrams is a half tablespoon or something. And I looked at how much I ate out of the jar. I'm like, well, here we go.
Yeah, 15 to 20 is about what you should go for anyway.
You had
a lot more than that?
But either way, edibles.
Yeah, those catch you off guard.
I mean, they'll do a thing, sure. Sell them the dildos, Dave.
Okay, Kyle. Guys, want to let you know about AdamandEve.com. They already know about AdamandEve.com.
We love them.
Big fans. Right now, getting you geared up for Valentine's Day, they're giving you all types of free shit. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to get, anytime you buy almost any item on the website, right? You go buy that shit, you're
going
to get...
I'm going to that website right now.
You're going to get 50% off, Kyle. All right, that's amazing by itself. But here's...
Half off.
That's almost half off. Here's where they get you.
Half off, you can get something all the way in.
Uh-huh. When you enter our exclusive code at checkout, Boogie, all right, enter B-O-G-I-E, not only you're going to get that 50% off that one item, you're going to get 10 free gifts.
This thing looks like a bike light.
First, for your viewing pleasure, they're going to hook you up with 6 free movies.
6 free movies?
Yeah. Lord knows what those movies could be about. Next, you're going to get a free mystery pack.
6 full movies.
You're going to get a free mystery pack that includes an item for him and a special toy for her. And something they know that you'll both enjoy. So
that's something for both of you.
Yeah, so it could be anything. It could be fucking barbecue grill.
Nice bag of Tostitos.
Yeah, it could be a spatula. It could be.
You get a free. Well, I'm looking at the website. They got a thing called an orgasm kit.
There you go.
I didn't know it took a whole kit.
What's in the orgasm kit?
Well, okay. It's got one vibrator that's doing all the heavy lifting.
Uh-huh.
But then it looks like you got a lot of sleeves.
Ooh, sleeves.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
Huh.
Got spiral sleeve, nubby sleeve, G-spot sleeve, probe sleeve.
What do you mean by sleeve? Is this like
you put it on the vibrator?
Oh, okay. I was
which is like just give me the sleeves and I'll put them on my crank.
Plus, you're going to get free shipping. Very cool. A lot of free Valentine's stuff. But you got to use the code Boogie. Go to AdamandEve.com. Use promo code Boogie. That's B-O-O-G-I-E in that order. If you don't use the code, you don't get any of the free stuff. So you got to do that. 10 free gifts. It's very exciting.
You got movies. Mm-hmm. You got stuff that goes where?
Up your butt.
Up your butt.
Uh-huh.
Sit on it, watch a flick. You know?
Just somebody.
Just have it. Have it. Just have a night.
Just popcorn in
hand.
Stop
being afraid of your body.
Dildo up butt.
I went on a rant about that. Oh, this is an ad. What am I doing? This isn't the show. All right, yeah. Go to AdamandEve.com. Offer code Boogie. You're going to get a ton of shit. Go to it, you morons.
Well, this is,
we're here, we're feeling fine, man.
Pretty cliche, but let's talk about UFOs while we're high.
Let's bring it back to the roots. Let's bring it back to the reason this all started.
Well, I watched a new movie, a new documentary that came out, I guess it came out about a month or two ago. And I think we've talked about this guy before, but we've never really delved deep into Bob Lazar. New movie called Bob Lazar, Area 51 and Flying Saucers. And one of the producers is George Knapp. We've talked about George Knapp.
Yeah.
He had a lot to do with the story of the Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah, he's on
Coast to Coast sometimes.
That Coast to Coast is getting...
Yeah, what's going on with that? You got... getting too right-wing?
It's nutty. Yeah. Like, all right. Like, and that's coming from... What are we doing?
Yeah.
But there's zero skepticism on it. And I think that's the problem. Like, there's zero... Really? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hmm.
There's no other side to any of it. Anyway, sorry. So go on. So, yeah, that's how I know George Knapp's name.
Yeah. Bob Lazar, interesting character. By the way, this movie, very well done. Just the way they... Just... I don't know how to describe what makes a good documentary, but it's very well done. Yeah. A lot of cool effects and just the way it was edited.
Can I just say the mm-hmm. first sentence mm-hmm. of the Wikipedia?
Okay.
The first sentence. Uh-huh. Robert Scott Lazar is an American self-described scientist who reported to have worked on reverse engineering extraterrestrial technology at a site called S4 near the Area 51 test facility. An American self-described scientist.
Yeah, me too.
You don't get to say that.
I'm a scientist.
Comedian? Yeah. Everybody gets to call themselves a comedian.
Self-described scientist.
No, you get a degree.
Well, I think he is a scientist. Well,
he's been calling himself one.
Well, self-described, whoever wrote that is probably referring to the fact that, and we'll get to this, but his credentials, his academic credentials were hard to prove. There was no record. He said he...
That's why he's self-described, because nobody else is describing him that way.
Well,
the university isn't saying he's a scientist.
We'll get into that. Could be some disinformation.
Hi, I'm Bob Lazar. I graduated from Bob Lazar University. I got a PhD in being Bob Lazar.
This movie is narrated by Mickey Rourke. That's always weird, because he's very Mickey Rourke. The first line's like...
What the fuck is Mickey Rourke doing in this?
The first line is something like... I don't mean to burst your bubble, but we're not alone. Okay, Mickey Rourke.
What is Mickey Rourke's connection to anything?
I don't know.
To anything at all.
Have you seen him lately? Good
is that,
God.
Is that picture real where it's like it looks like he's wearing a Michael Myers mask?
I mean, good God, the plastic surgery. Take it easy, dude.
Mickey Rourke. I'm looking up Mickey Rourke aliens. You talk about this movie, Mickey
Rourke. Man. All right. Let's see if I can focus here. Get my notes. Well, the movie kind of starts with this catalyst.
They can't hear it. They can't hear the farts.
Your farts are so well timed.
I was looking at something else.
All right. May 12th, 1989, an anonymous former employee. I'm high. An anonymous former employee of Gordon Lake, which is at the Nellis bombing range test site. This guy gives an interview on a Las Vegas news station. He gives the name of Dennis, and he says that he worked with alien technology at Nellis Air Force Base. I believe that's in Nevada. So that was – there's this breaking story, and they do the whole – they alter his voice, and they put him in the shadow, just like when I talked about the Galifianakis thing. So I'm in a basement. And he's like, what's in a basement? Chemistry center or something? Anyway, funniest thing I've ever seen. But they do that whole disguise thing on Dennis. Dennis, and by the way, this was like big news back in May of 89. Mm-hmm. It's based on the it came out of a Las Vegas news station, but the story was picked up all over the world. Because here's a guy, claims he worked on alien technology. So everybody's like, holy shit, who's this Dennis guy? Well, Dennis later comes forward, admitting that his real name is Robert Lazar.
Why would he go by Dennis?
Well, he's just an alias.
He can't even give you his real name.
Well, he wanted to be anonymous at that time because he's saying some pretty amazing things that he might get some backlash for. So anyway, Dennis comes forward and says his name's Robert Lazar and that he worked in an area called S4 and where he worked with antimatter reactors, anti-gravity, flying saucers, and other examples of alien technology. So,
right.
You know, this big story pops in 89, this mysterious anonymous dude named Dennis, and then Robert Lazar says, hey, that's me, and I worked on all kind of crazy shit. Lazar says that in the late 1980s, the U.S. government recovered as many, get this, now this was, it was his claim in the original interview. He said in the late 1980s, our U.S. government recovered as many as 9 alien spacecrafts, and that they stored them at S4, where he worked, and they stored them there, and part of his mission at S4, him and a few other team of scientists, they tried to reverse engineer this UFO technology. So, like, what a fucking score for, like, our government, like, to be like...
Where'd they get them? Where'd they find them?
He never said. He just said that in the late 80s, the U.S. government recovered as many as 9 alien spacecraft. Like it's one thing to be in that world and to try to study and understand how possible alien crafts might work, but to actually to catch, you know, to bring them, to discover them and bring them back and have this bounty of legit alien spacecraft that they can now dissect and try to reverse engineer. That's insane.
Yes, it is.
You don't think it's plausible? You think he's full of shit?
The self-described scientist?
First of all, you're reading off of Wikipedia. Anybody could have wrote that.
Then why wouldn't they write it better? I mean, if Bob Lazar wrote his own Wikipedia page, he would just be like, I'm a scientist.
This guy...
I'm looking up what S4, where this S4 base is. That's what I'm doing. So that's what I'm... Also, by the way, Mickey Rourke, in an interview of Den of Geek, so when asked if he believed in UFOs, Rourke told Den of Geek, I don't know. I would like to. And then he continued, when I was younger, I thought there was no such thing. Now that I'm older, I think, why should this be all there is? It's so imperfect here. There's so much horror. There's so much evil. I'd like to think there are other places that are maybe a little better. They could be fucking bananas too, Mickey.
Did you ever see The Wrestler?
Yeah.
A solid movie.
Yeah, yeah. Too close, too parallel comedy too closely.
Tell me about it. He's living in a van.
Yeah. You're on the way up. He was on the way down.
So anyway, they went out at some point. I don't know if all together or just one at a time over the course of several years, but somehow S4 was housing 9 alien spacecraft.
All right. So they got a sweet garage. Sweet flying saucer garage.
And just a
like
side
note. Like a Meekum Auto Auction of flying saucers. They're waxing them. They're in neutral because they're inside. They can't have the exhaust, so they got to push them onto the platform. Wearing gloves.
After Lazar's story broke in 89, researchers had trouble verifying his credentials.
Turtle wax in my saucer.
So this story pops in 89. He later comes forward, says, I'm the guy. Then, of course, you know, here comes all the critics and skeptics. And researchers, they were having trouble verifying his credentials. Los Alamos National Laboratory denied any record of him working there.
Although that would be a thing. What is that? Was that ghost light? Ghost lamping?
What is that?
Cold lamping?
Cold lamping? Ghost lamping? Gaslighting? Yeah.
Cold lamping. Straight chilling.
Seriously, what's the phrase? Like when you just deny any association with someone?
Yeah, I think that's gaslighting. Yeah,
no, that's where you're just fucking with someone in general.
But by doing, like, by denying something.
Yeah,
like,
I guess so.
Like, we never went there. Like, yeah, no, I know we were there. No, what are you talking about? You're crazy.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Either way. So that, no, that's, especially with the government thing. All right. I'm going to give Bobby Lazar.
So Los Alamos National Laboratory, where he did some work, they denied any record of him working there, although his name did appear, that somebody tracked down a 1982 employee phone book, and his name was in there. So he's like, well, there you go. Also, the colleges that he claimed to have attended and received degrees from, Caltech and MIT, they showed no records of him being there. So everybody's like, well, you say you went to Caltech, you say you went to MIT. Anyway, EG&G was his company. That's where he interviewed for his job at S4. They had no records. So, yeah, and he's like, well, it's clear that someone has tried to make me disappear. Mm-hmm. So there's almost no records of this guy's employment or educational background. But yet he's claiming he went to Caltech. He's claiming he went to MIT, worked at Los Alamos, all this stuff. No records anywhere. Although he did take 4 different polygraph tests and clean as a whistle.
You can trick those.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway. So he comes forward and says, hey, I worked. You know, that's a pretty crazy. I mean, that's especially back then. That's 30 years ago. Like, that's it. I'm surprised this wasn't even a bigger story. Like, that's a huge claim to be like, hey, man, I worked on 9 different alien spacecraft that we were trying to reverse engineer.
Did you see the X-Files, the movie?
I did not.
It's real good. But I'm looking up, I'm trying to find criticisms of Bob Lazar here. Mm-hmm. And like one is like, oh, felony, got convicted of felony pandering.
Is that with the brothel?
So
he got arrested at a brothel.
Oh, he was at the brothel?
I think he was at the brothel.
So I was going to say that in the Twilight, or in X-Files, the movie, like the one main guy that's like leaking all the information, I think it was Mulder was talking to him. He's like, the cops raided your apartment. He's like, oh, let me guess, kiddie porn again. Like they kept putting stuff on him to malign him in the public.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that character was kind of based on like what's happening here.
Hmm.
But he got arrested in a brothel.
Well, I don't. Now that I say that, I don't recall if it was in. But
trying to reverse engineer that ass didn't even make sense.
Now that I think about it, I don't know if they kind of glossed over it real quickly in the movie.
Of course they did.
But I think it was presented as if it was a classic. Staying at a brothel, and he happened to be there.
Yeah, I don't fault anybody for that. Also, in 2007, his scientific supply company got fined $7,500.
Yeah. Well, and his, we'll get to the fact that his business was raided by the FBI.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's an interesting side note. He said in an earlier interview, Lazar talks about one day at Los Alamos, he was walking by a door, and he looked through the door's small window to see 2 employees in white lab coats standing over and examining a small creature with long arms. Quote, small creature with long arms. In the doc, he also states that, well, he later stated that he doubted what he saw was an alien, but he's still unsure what it was. That's an odd statement. All right, I saw these two guys in lab coats standing over a small creature with long arms, but then later he doubts that it was an alien, but also I'm unsure what it is. What could it be? A small creature with long arms? Los Alamos. Like, if I was him, I would think, oh, shit, I guess that's an alien.
It was like an orangutan they were doing stuff to.
Okay. Yeah, like just doing genetic research.
Yeah, what if all this stuff is just what they did to monkeys?
Yeah.
Bigfoot's just a monkey they fucked with.
I feel like he would make it a point to be like, I didn't know what it was, but it was brown and hairy. And it, I mean, I don't
this
know.
Guy?
Well,
no. This fucking guy's going to have an explanation for something that makes sense?
He also said that scientists at S4 commonly referred to aliens as, quote, the kids. They were always talking about the kids. Got to do this with the kids. Got to do that with the kids.
Really? Like, you're that comfortable with aliens at some point?
Who's the guy we talked about a year ago? Was it Charles Hall? He's the one that worked at that. I don't know if it's the same base. He worked somewhere around near outside of Vegas, and he's the one that saw the tall whites. Charles Hall was. And he was. And I've seen interviews of him. He spoke very casual, just like, yeah, the tall whites.
I guess.
I want
it to be real, Dave.
Let's talk about some of the science behind what he worked on. Lazar talks about this thing called field propulsion crafts, or these things called field propulsion. Propulsion's a hard word to say. Propulsion craft.
Propulsion.
Propulsion.
That's how I do it.
He worked with field propulsion crafts, and he said these were legit alien crafts. Now, he says these are the ones that
serious guys.
No, he makes it clear that these were some of the he worked on the actual some of the nine spacecraft that they recovered.
What are they called again?
Field propulsion crafts. He says it was reactionless, meaning that any man-made craft. He explained how basically any man-made craft, whether it be a plane, a train, automobile, whatever. Yeah, the general concept. It works by throwing something out the back of it, meaning high-speed exhaust or blast of air.
I should be soaring through the apartment right now. Come on.
But, you know, put a fuel source in, and then an exhaust or blast of air comes out. But this
3 pounds of mac and cheese.
This craft, the crafts he were working on, these field propulsion crafts, they omitted no exhaust or vapor. He said, but rather they created a distortion in space and time. It somehow distorted and bent the environment in its path. Now, here's the analogy.
Just happened.
Here's the analogy he gives for this, and this makes sense if you look at it this way. He says the basic concept of this distortion that it creates in space and time, he says take a bowling ball, put it in the center of your bed, center of your mattress, and then press down on an area in front of the bowling ball, and then the ball will then roll. Mm-hmm. You know, you're pressing down, creating a downward slope there right in front of the ball, so the ball is going to roll forward. He describes that that's basically the same concept of this reactionless craft, that they bent the time and space right in front of it, and it was always moving forward because it was always bending time and
they
space.
They have that in the real world. I knew I couldn't remember what it was called. It's called ionic wind, and they have it now. Like, because I remember seeing this a couple months ago, this article. Uh-huh. This one I'm looking at, yeah. Oh, it's from November 21st of last year in The Guardian. It's called a solid-state plane. It's got no moving parts, and it charges the air in front of it. Something about this is all it says. The flight represents a breakthrough in ionic wind technology, which uses a powerful electric field to generate charged nitrogen ions, which then are expelled from the back of the aircraft. So it's not, it's just charging ions. It's something about, yeah, the bet from my dumb head, you're electrifying the air somehow, or perhaps like the same thing. It's thinner in front of the thing than it is behind it, so it's going to fill that thinner area.
Yeah.
So it's out there.
That's crazy. Lazar said inside one of the crafts he was working on, he described it as having incredibly small seats that were very low to the ground, and the instrument panel was also very small, something that could possibly fit a small child. So that's interesting, seriously, to think about. Like, if you've got this craft.
Small children flying UFOs.
Well, no, he's saying it's the size of a small child. He's saying...
The premise of Space Camp, the
film. He's implying that these aliens are tiny little bastards. So we never really talked about that. Well, we have a little bit, but, like, the concept of just, you know, what if they're just small as shit?
What if they're microscopic? That's my problem.
What's your problem?
Why do they always have arms and legs and eyes and shit?
Kyle, I think we talked about that. I think that they have arms, two arms, two legs, two eyes, and a head, much like a human. Because what if
we're somehow they're from? Connected? If they're related to us, then that's already what I believe in. Yeah. Do you remember the fucking plot of Space Camp? How dumb as shit this was.
Never saw Space Camp.
They were kids. They went to space camp because they're kids. But then a shuttle accidentally gets launched full of kids. This shit came out in 1986. How offensive. When did the Challenger crash?
1986.
Jesus Christ. Are you telling me that a movie about adults who couldn't fly a spaceship or a movie about kids who flew a spaceship successfully came out the same year a bunch of adults, trained adults, blew up in one?
Wow.
This fucking 9-year-old got it back on the ground. But sorry, Sally McAuliffe. Sorry, the first teacher in space, hero to millions that we all watched live.
Yeah, I watched it live. For some reason, we were out of school that day.
Tell me this movie came out the Friday after that happened, and the producers were like, well, fucking taking a bath with this one.
Damn.
I'm sorry to laugh at the astronauts, but unless was Space Camp a propaganda film to get people to support NASA again? Oh man, what did I just uncover?
I always wanted to go to space camp.
I drove by space camp in Huntsville.
Yeah,
it's right there. And I was like, boy, I wish I could still go to space camp. And the guy who's driving us is like, yeah, there's an adult program. So,
whoa,
hey, sign up for that Patreon, you fucking freeloaders. Dave and I want to go to space camp.
Oh, God.
Anyway, sorry about the adults. Here's a space shuttle full of kids.
Well, I think this is fascinating that he's...
Of course you do.
That he's got these damn crafts. And then that the seats are so small and everything's so small. It just means they're small. And I think that makes sense.
Because they got nine of the spaceship, the rocket rides from in front of grocery stores. That's what they got back in the garage.
I think that's like... That's logical evolution in that, like, why we need to be so big. Like, you know, it's like.
What do you mean, why do we need to be so big?
Meaning, like, I think it's neat if all aliens are, like, 2 or 3 feet tall. Because they're like, all we need is this big old brain.
Oh, because you just want to dominate
them? We don't need this crazy big body. I think it's efficient. I like the concept of, like, tiny, smart-ass little aliens.
Do you believe in giants?
You know? What's that get to do?
Well, then we're small to them. It's perspective, man.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, I think if you're an advanced species, I think
that
eventually...
That you get smaller?
Yes, because you're like, efficiency. I need to take up less space. Just, I think it makes sense to be, as your brain evolves, that I like the concept of like an alien being like, yeah, we're 2 feet tall. We don't need to be 200 pounds. We're two feet tall, maybe 30 pounds.
Maybe that is like an advance either... maybe it's peacetime, mm-hmm. And at peacetime you're not like training armies and trying to get strong and mighty. You're like,
ooh.
Or is it that technology, like now, can keep you planted on a couch watching TV and you don't have to expend energy and you just turn mushy? Anyway, listen to this: Adult Space Academy. This is on the Space Camp website. That's www.spacecamp.com /space/adult. Always wanted to be an astronaut, but we're too old for space camp? Yes.
Too dumb.
Fucking yeah. In fact, there's so many reasons I wasn't an astronaut. Not just my age. Oh, Sean Jordan has a great joke like that. Sean Jordan, he had to go to the eye doctor. He's like in his late 30s. He had to go to the eye doctor, and the eye doctor's joking. He's like, getting glasses. He's like, yep. Well, it looks like you won't be a pro football player or a fighter pilot. And he's like, oh, you know, it's a pretty good indicator I won't be a pro football player. I'm 38, dog.
38, dog.
And I'm not paying this insurance bill. That's what's up.
It's like, oh, one of your jokes. Some people my age are astronauts.
Oh, man. We train like an astronaut on our multi-axis trainer. You betcha. Construct and launch your own rocket. I would love to. Learn team building and get fucked. Test your engineering skills in a designing a protective heat shield. All right. Perform an extended duration simulated mission. That sounds.
Yeah.
That sounds hot.
Be still.
Oh, Professor Simulation.
How much is it?
I'm looking for that right now.
Is it like a week long?
It's two nights.
Do we get bunk beds?
Seasons for Adult Space Academy are limited, so reserve early. Meals and lodging are included. Lodging is on site. They have like these weird habitats that I drove by when I was there.
Ooh.
Ooh, meals provided. I wonder if you get all space food.
What kind of meals?
That's what I just asked.
Yeah. I'm going to need to know first.
Listen to this. Packing list. Padlock for your locker. Soap, deodorant, shampoo. Like, this is the army. Closed-toed shoes. Who's fucking showing up to space camp in flip-flops?
Some of these aliens probably don't even have footwear.
They probably don't even have feet. They shouldn't. They're so advanced, they still got feet.
How are you going to
walk? All the bones in your body in the most susceptible area. Oh, look, you're an advanced species, and the most delicate thing is a contact point, and your genitals are made out of cupcakes. You're the very reason you could reproduce. Here's the most delicate thing hanging in front of your body. Dumb design. Humans are a dumb design. Tell me how much space camp is. $550 for 3 days.
Huh.
So we need $1,100. So let's crack open those wallets, everybody. Kyle and Dave want to go to space camp.
Oh, man. I thought this was interesting.
I like that the website's bad.
Yeah.
By the way, the website for space camp, it's kind of shitty, which makes me think they're not in touch. They don't have to sell it. They don't have to focus. What are we paying a web designer for? We're already sold out for 3 years.
Yeah.
People love space camp. They don't give a shit about the website. Go on.
Lazar talks about his time working at Groom Lake. He says each day he and several other government employees would meet at AG&G, which is the place that hired him. And he said they would meet there. They would fly to Groom Lake. Then they'd take a bus with blacked out windows up to S4. The buildings he worked in were painted with tan textured paint to disguise them from satellite photos.
You mean stucco, Bob Lazar?
Yeah, probably.
Well, if it's stucco, they can't find it.
Tan. It blends
that's
in.
That's why El Torito restaurants never show up on Russian radar. They've been looking for chips and salsa since the Cold War.
That makes sense, though, to camouflage your building. Why is the windows of the bus blacked out? That means
because
they don't want.
Lying.
They don't want to. What? Why do you think this guy's lying?
Because I am Dennis. No, never mind. I'm Bob. Right there, the first story about him is him lying.
That's called an alias. Just because someone has an alias,
he gave it up pretty quick. He folded pretty fast.
Sure, he could have had a change of heart, but initially he's like, this is some pretty...
Self-described scientist.
I think you're putting too much weight on the Wikipedia article.
All right,
this is what we were talking about earlier. During the production of the documentary, Lazar's business was raided by the FBI. Authorities said that they were looking for this years-old paperwork from a customer who had ordered a potentially toxic material. Lazar describes the raid as, quote, like a Twilight Zone episode. Although the real reason for the raid could be that years earlier, Lazar claimed somewhere in an interview, he claimed that he smuggled a sample of Element 115 out of S4. Mm-hmm. Element 115 is supposedly the fuel source for some of those alien spacecraft that he was working on. And he says it produces gravity. So, FBI, during the production of this, like while they were shooting this, they just raided his, but he's got some business where he sells scientific parts and machines and stuff.
Legal chemicals.
But yeah. Why would you?
Also, they created, it's called Muscovium.
What's Muscovium?
Element 115.
So who created it?
Scientists. Okay. Real ones. Real. Described by others as scientists. Uh-huh.
But yeah. So this Element 115, I guess they were looking for that shit. Like, if that's legit, if it produces gravity and if it's the fuel source, I mean, feels like a smart scientist could kind of reverse engineer and deconstruct this Element 115 and figure out.
I'm trying to see what they say. Like, it's a synthetic and what they say it does here. I don't know what to talk about. Electrons, I don't know. It's not saying anything exciting, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
It's not saying it produces gravity.
Here's my question. If I was old Bobby Laser, I'd be concerned for my own safety talking about this shit. A lot of years gone by. I don't know.
But that's, well, I mean, like the people, are they paranoid because they're crazy? Or are they paranoid because actually once in a while someone's out to get you?
Yeah.
But this goes back to, if he really knows this much and they're making documentaries with him, mm-hmm. is that disinformation? Like, did he see it, but he's nutty enough that the government's like, no, let him do it. Nobody's going to believe him. Whereas there are credible sources, and you never hear about them because they're the ones that die mysteriously or disappear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Dennis Bob Lazar, yeah,
he's a
let's give him a 5-picture deal. This guy's a fruitcake.
He's a slightly odd dude, but I didn't see him to be like a complete nut job. You know what he looks like? He kind of looks like Stephen King.
You know that is, it's got that big stretchy fish mouth.
Yeah.
It's kind of pulling his mouth, so he's kind of getting pulled out. Well,
so yeah. Anyway, that's the gist of the movie. They're basically,
is it good? Like, did you like the movie?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Because what was the one we watched? We watched the Skinwalker one.
Yeah, we watched another one. What was the Exposed? The one about the disinformation?
Was it the
UFO?
Oh no, that one. Well, because that one they were playing both sides a little bit, I think, to what I remember.
This was good. It wasn't great, but it, I mean, it's basically, the general concept is this guy full of shit or not?
Yes.
I don't know, man. I just don't know.
I do. He is.
There were some examples of, like, he knew, like, testing dates. Like, he knew, he had information of, like, and this is kind of connected to the concept of, like, not everything you see in the sky is from a different planet. Mm. You know, a lot of the stuff, a lot of the UFOs that people see are actually, you know, tests from our own government, test craft. But there was an example, there's more than one example when he knew, like, months or weeks in advance, he was like, hey, on such and such date, you're going to see some crazy shit in the sky. And sure enough, on that date, people saw crazy shit in the sky. So he still had sources. He still knew when and where some of these test craft were being flown. So that gives them some credibility.
But it could have been anything. Like, I know they're going to test a missile. Yeah, I mean, like I'm saying, you go out in Southern California here, and if you don't know what you're looking at, you mm-hmm. see some weird shit mm-hmm. in the sky. Like, if you've ever seen a satellite, you don't know what that is at first. Because it's not blinking like a plane. It's just one light, or the space station sometimes. Or seeing fighter planes at night and stuff, where I was camping couple years ago.
I always forget about satellites. Like, yeah. Every time I'm like, that's,
it's moving fast.
Because I'm always like, my first criteria is it a plane? And then when I'm like, that don't look like a plane.
And it moves fast.
Yeah, then I'm always like, oh, yeah, that could be a satellite. But no, he knew when and where some of these tests were going to take place. He was correct in his assumptions. And there's video footage. They really slow it down and zoom in to where one of the crafts is at least the shape, the general shape of the craft he was describing working on. Meaning not like a plane, more like a, you know, kind of a classic hamburger flying saucer.
Classic hamburger.
That shape, the hamburger shape, flying saucer shape, not like a, not anything that could be a plane or a rocket or a missile.
Wendy's burger or regular burger?
Double.
I'm trying to find an age limit on Space Camp.
But yeah, so do I believe this guy? Well, here's the other thing. Like, he's like, what's, and he even admitted this. He's like, what's my motivation to lie about this shit? Like, he seems like a smart dude. He doesn't seem like a nut job. He seems like a, he might be slightly askew, you know, but he doesn't seem like a complete whack job. And he's like, why would I fucking lie about this? What's he gained from lying about this stuff?
Yeah, I get, why do people lie about anything? Why people are pathological liars? You ever meet a pathological liar?
I know a guy who multiple friends have said he's a pathological liar, and now I'm backtracking. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, maybe. I guess I could see that.
Oh, do I know him? Oh, yeah. Well, because I think of a different guy that I'm thinking of, but it was always just be statements. Not to get in good graces, but for people to just think of him as something other than just a fucking dude.
Huh. Yeah, so for, I guess, pathological liar does lie for, not for his own gain.
Yeah, or just to see if you can do it. Uh-huh. And I'm not saying this Bob Lazar is, but you're asking why people do that. Or maybe I asked, I don't know. It's a habit, and it's...
What are some of the examples? Do you remember any lies that this guy would tell?
I don't want to do too specific, but he was like if there was some disaster, yeah, man, I was there, saw that. It's part of it was just when somebody's related to anything you're talking about,
they want to inject not themselves. Just,
yeah,
into
they
it.
They've got something.
Well, didn't who's that comic? Steve Ran? I never knew how to pronounce.
Ranazizi, yeah.
Didn't he say that he was in somehow?
Instead, he was in 9/11.
He was in 9/11.
He was one of the buildings. Yeah,
and then later he was like, JK.
Yeah,
well, I'm sure there's evidence of this, but like, I want to know why did you say this?
Well, I'm sure it's. There's a documentary about it that was about a woman that was claiming to be one of the survivors and worked with survivor groups and like did a lot of like good charitable social work. And then it found out she wasn't a part of any of it. Wow. But I think it's just, maybe it's just an occurrence, even though it's a disaster. I'm sure it's some psychological like I want to be involved.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe like the small example, like if somebody dies, even if you know, like, even if they're famous, people on Twitter all of a sudden like have to, oh, and here's my experience with them, which is not malicious.
No.
And sometimes it is like, we're celebrating this person, like, but then other times it's like it's always you, like they're always trying to make something about themselves, like, I'm part of this too.
Yeah,
but I'm also part of this. And maybe that's what it was.
Well, that's just narcissism, you know.
Yeah.
Everything is somehow routed through you. Speaking of 9/11,
but that, well, narcissism is like you think it, but that is like desperate, like you want it to be.
Funniest scene in Curb Your Enthusiasm. Larry's talking to his rabbi, and his rabbi mentions that his brother-in-law died in 9/11, and then it was later found out that he died in a car wreck uptown. And Larry's like, you can't say he died on 9/11. Yeah. He's like, what? He died on 9/11 in New York. He's like, he can't, no.
And claiming it on the same, like, let's just use it. It works. But it does give, like, then people, like, it boosts your value, you know?
Yeah.
Bob Lazar, maybe he's a lonely dude. A lonely dude with a fish mouth going to the brothel. You know? If I, you know, he fixes the printer. over at whatever military base. Like, I'm going to tell people there's aliens. How do you know? I'm a scientist. How are you a scientist? I just told you I was.
I think, well, with most things.
But again, maybe this is a great cover-up. But I think if he knew stuff for real, they'd kill him.
I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think it's a little bit of both sides.
All right.
So, I don't know. I feel like I feel like he knows something. Well, just that concept in general. Just, and we've talked about this, but disclosure. Just like, when are we going to find some of this shit out? I want the government to just at least admit some of this shit, you know? It's like, you don't have to tell us everything, but like, just this total denial of all things. Like, nah, we got...
They found the Navy fighter planes that saw that shit 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Nobody cared.
Yeah.
That's how fucked it all is. Hey, guys, we actually did see UFOs. Whatever, can you believe it? Trump got McDonald's for some fucking idiots that loved it. Who gives a shit? We saw UFOs and nobody cares. Fuck this place.
Oh, God.
Good luck, Bobby Lazar. I hope you're telling the truth.
Mm. Well, go see the movie. It's solid. It's
go give us $1,100 where we can go to space camp, figure out how to get the fuck out of here.
I think it's on Amazon. God damn it. Just shut up. Fucking idiot.
That's it. That's what the Patreon is. It's not $4 a month. It's $1,100. One time. One person give us $1,100.
Oh, God.
And travel.
I'm all clogged up, dude. You know what I think part of my problem is? Well, I'll set myself up for
what's
that one.
What's part of your problem?
I think I'm allergic to my own goddamn cats. I think I figured
that
out.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I've been sick and sniffly ever since I moved into Katie's place.
That very much so. You got to go get an allergy test.
Oh, will they tell me what? I didn't know that was even a thing.
Yeah, they do.
Tell you what you're allergic
basically,
to.
I'm pulling out of my ass, but they'll take like a pin with a little bit of cat dander or something, uh-huh, and prick it, like with just different samples and see what that little.
Oh.
If it swells up or what happened.
Huh.
So.
Yeah. I can do it, man. I love those stupid little bastards.
Taking some Benadryls?
Yeah, I've been taking some of that.
That's what Rachel hits whenever there's critters around.
You allergic to me, Dave? Oh. It's okay, Harvey.
Okay, let's see. Keep that at home.
Yeah.
Spacecamp.com/... Fuck. I lost the website. Something adult.
All right. Well, I wouldn't worry too much about that there, buddy.
Adult space camp. You don't want to do that?
I do, but...
All right, then start shilling.
I don't know if it's worth $1,100.
You're a fucking idiot.
What you got to plug, dude? Plug some shit.
What's this, tomorrow's?
Yeah. Tonight, you'll be somewhere.
Tonight, Dynasty Typewriter. And old Dave's doing it, too.
I thought that was... today in real time.
Well, you were wrong.
Well, that'll be a fun show.
Yeah, come on the Dynasty Typewriter. I think it's 8 o'clock. Just save yourself the trouble and pay for the parking in the garage because parking's kind of a drag there. Yeah. Or take a Lyft or an Uber.
Yeah.
Come on. What are you doing?
Anything else? Any shows coming up?
I'll be the Rec Room in Huntington Beach next week.
Oh, that's cool. I've never been to Huntington Beach.
Oh, that's a good spot.
Yeah.
Well, the town's... kind of a surf bro.
A Surf City, USA.
Surf MMA broed out.
Isn't that where, like, surfing started?
Like, yeah, surfing and...
Jan and Dean. And,
yeah, there's a lot of... I guess... It's just real broed out.
Huh.
But the club's great.
Yeah.
Rec Room's great.
You know.
What about you, Dave?
I'll be in Seattle next week. February 8th and 9th. I'll be at Laughs in Seattle. Kind of a last-minute date. No Northwest run. Sorry, Portland and Eugene and get a lot of requests trying to come up there. I need to do a run up there. Well, we kind of did that little run last year.
Yeah, we did a year ago.
I need to go up there and wander around. Need some Oregon dates. So I'm going to try to make that happen maybe in the summer. But for now, Seattle coming up February 8th and 9th, and then a whole shit ton of dates in March, Michigan and whatnot. DumbDaveStone.com for that. Also, if you slept on your boys, March 22nd, Burning Bridges Festival in Pittsburgh, sold out.
Or maybe none of you did, and that's why it's sold out, so thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, there's no tickets up yet, but the day after, March 23rd, we're going to be doing a live one in New York again.
Yeah.
But we don't have enough details, so don't even worry about it just yet.
Yeah, so we'll have that up soon. But yeah, Patreon. Get on that Patreon, $4 a month, you get the bonus episodes.
$1,100, adult space camp.
Also, feel free to holler at your boys. I try to. I know I'm backed up on all this, but I try to respond to it. But I think the problem is we just got too many outlets, too many platforms. So just email us. Just email us at boogiemonsterpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, I fuck up. Well, you're the correspondence captain.
Yeah, I'm not good at it though.
You're the minister of communications.
Yeah. And again, thanks for the tax lessons. I appreciate it.
Yeah, email more Dave. Email Dave some more advice. He loves it.
Yeah, send that to me.
I'm already excited to hear about how he's been incorrect.
God damn it.
And the only thing you need to email me is a receipt for my ticket to space camp. I'm serious.
That would be fun. Fucking live episode. Go to space camp and do a live Boogie Monster.
Well, I mean, I'm sure we could plan things around, but space camp, you could still go now.
What will we actually do there, though?
I can float.
Yeah.
I will make sure that the craft takes off just like Space Camp the movie. And then the pro astronauts will talk us through it from ground control and we'll be heroes.
Okay.
Or we'll explode like these other ones. Those jokes started. That was the first time I remember how quick.
Yes. That's a great point. Like, that's because we were both the same age. What? We're like nine.
I was in grade school.
9 or 10.
Wheeling a TV in. Like, what's going on? Well, here's this, kids. And then, like, I remember 2 days later. What does NASA stand for? Need another 7 astronauts.
Oh, wow. The one I remember, I don't remember the setup.
Sorry, trigger warning if you're an astronaut.
I don't remember the setup, but the punchline was head and shoulders. Something, what'd they find? Head and shoulders. Like, oh, yeah, like the shampoo.
I'm not going to look them up because we're already long. But there was some. Good joke's a good joke, man. I don't know what to tell you.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
The Boogie Monster.